welcome to Creative Psychopaths, a horror movie podcast and the world's premier kitchen for horror sandwiches. What are horror sandwiches, I hear you ask? Well, it's a lovely movie filling surrounded by two slices of chatty goodness. My name's Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew. Hello, Matthew.
Yo.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Did you say that with your cap on backwards, or...?
Going for cool guy from the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, wow, awesome. Have you got a skateboard at the ready? And
I do. You can't see it, but the chair I'm on is... I'm sat on it backwards.
Oh, man. You're the height of 90s coolness. If you had a hyper global colour t-shirt on, you'd be away. Do you remember them? Was that possibly outside of your timeline?
I'm thinking of is either tie-dye or neon, so probably not.
Yeah, no, it was like a grey shirt, but when it got warm, it changed to like a neon colour, like pink or yellow or a green. All it really did was highlight where you were sweaty. So,
I'm going to say that sounds like the sort of thing that would have chemicals that you do want nowhere near your skin.
Yeah, but everybody wanted one. They all wanted them.
Like, I can't help but feel that the makers of said clothing would, you know, have to face lawsuits, like class action lawsuits for, like, cancer rates or something. That sounds awful.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I come from the time of tracksuits where, you know, one open flame and you were encased in doom. So,
do you remember Adidas popper pants?
I do, yeah, they were good. They were good times. Although...
I did have a pair of those.
I think essentially they were only there to annoy you so your friends could pull them all open and you had to spend forever doing your trousers back up.
You couldn't take them all off in one go either.
No, it was... they weren't the stripper pants
we were still connected at the top.
Yeah. Ridiculous. What a pain in the bum. Bring them back, I'd say.
Oh, didn't they have come back?
Everything comes back around eventually, doesn't it? Flares, mullets.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at the point now where 90s nostalgia's the thing, isn't it?
I don't like the idea that people are nostalgic for the 90s because it doesn't feel that long ago, really. But I suppose that's how it is, you know, as long as if people start watching Rocco's Modern Life again, I'll be quite happy with that. Another 90s shows. Oh, well. Well, I think that's how...
I mean...
Oh, go on.
But to say, for the theme of this, maybe we could say, you know, a Goosebumps revival. Oh, wait, no, they did that one, didn't they?
Yeah, they did do a Goosebumps revival.
Are You Afraid of the Dark will have to do.
Yeah, we'll have that. We'll have Are You Afraid of the Dark or Round the Twist, maybe. Bring that back.
I mean, that wasn't technically a horror, was it? It was just friggin' insane.
Felt like it. Felt like it was sort of horror-y. Horror adjacent.
I think the real horror is knowing that the creators are out there somewhere.
Dancing
possibly
around
able to strike at any moment.
Yeah, perhaps they're dancing around a lighthouse as we speak, summoning the demons of the 90s and Bronson. One of the kids was called Bronson anyway. Lovely. I think that's that preamble done. I had something prepared, but I can save it for another day now. That'll be exciting for you, won't it? It'll be exciting for you to wait for a pre-prepared preamble.
Yeah.
I'm
genuinely, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I was pretty impressed with myself for saying pre-prepared preamble without issue. And again.
And again.
Yeah, I won't push my luck though. I feel like I've done it. So this week we're going to fly in with the first slice of bread. We're going to talk about some trailers, what we've seen. So I picked out these trailers and I sort of picked them out along the theme of one that doesn't look great, one that looks interesting, one that looks confusing, and one that we're both looking forward to, which is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's... We only tend, I reckon, to get this, like, once a year, don't we? I think we did this around the same time last year, maybe twice a year, where you get like a bank of horror movie trailers. Normally there's only really like one that's in rotation at the cinema, isn't it? But every now and again, every 6 to 8 months or so,
You get a
there'll be a
handful.
few in one go, and it's
Yeah.
gets the juices flowing, the blood pumping.
Yeah, there was another horror trailer that I've seen, and the film looks interesting. But I didn't think there was much to talk about in the trailer, and I can't even remember what it's called now. Brilliant. Not very interesting, is it? To talk about a thing you don't know.
Or I do know. We don't know until we know what it is, would we?
We don't. We've no idea. We've no idea. If only I could pretend that I was not looking for it, but I am. No, I don't know why. I can't remember now what it was called. But the trailer was there's like a. It looks like a sort of Friday the 13th, but I think it's from the killer's point of view the whole time. And
I don't think I've seen the trailer for it, but I think I have heard of this film. But yes, it's completely, to be honest, I don't even know if I've heard the name. I think I might have just heard that there is this movie from the point of view of the killer. And
I'll figure it out by the end of this. But what we're not here to talk about the trailers we're not talking about. We're here to talk about the trailers we are talking about. So the first one we're going to run with is coming out on Friday, I believe, which is Abigail, which is
tomorrow, if you're a devoted listener who is picking this up on release day.
tomorrow on the Friday, or maybe even tonight, you might get a little cheeky early screening tonight, if that's your thing, if that's your bag. So what we've got here is a movie where some people go to a house to, I think, pretend to kidnap some girl, or they do kidnap some girl, but it turns out she's a vampire. And it looks like fun ensues. It's the trailers. I feel like this is one of those trailers where it shows you the entire movie. And I'm not entirely sure, but I think it might even give you the final blind. Or at least one of the last lines of the movie. What do you think? Does it look? Is this the sort of thing you'd go see, or was it something you'd go, oh, not for me, thanks very much?
Well, I reckon personally, I kind of look at everything in the cinema and be like, yeah, I'd see that. I'm quite open in that regard, and I think just because I like just going to the cinema, just as a thing to do, it doesn't have to necessarily be something that I'm really looking forward to. Because I have my wonderful Limitless card,
Oh, of course.
and yeah, this is one that I would not part with my money to see based on this trailer,
Oh, dear.
because like you say, it just feels like it gives us everything, and it's the sort of film that looks like we've seen it a few times. I don't think there's anything in there that looks particularly, new or interested, which does sound it sounds a bit cruel, I know. But just looking at it though, there is, the directors are the guys who did Ready or Not, which I would say stylistically, this looks like it's a close match for.
I
And they
was
also
thinking
did the
that.
last two Scream films.
No, right, okay. Yeah.
Given that, and also the cast, which is, which looks pretty strong, some really good names in there. Maybe there's more to this than the trailers suggest, because it's not uncommon that good films have crap trailers, isn't it? So
that's true. That's true. I think with this,
you know,
with this,
maybe we're sorry, go on.
Just think the trailer maybe shouldn't be giving away so much film. Unless it's only giving us like a first half hour, and you know, we're gonna get something more to it than that. But what?
Yeah, it'd have to be some wild turns. I would be interested to see with this, because it's either going to go one way. It's either going to go for those like really wild turns, which I hope it does, or we're going to look at the film and think back to the trailer and just think, well, there wasn't anything else they could have shown really to sell it. and I hope it's the former, because
fair enough.
I like good movies.
Yeah, me too.
Fun movies.
So the next one that I asked you to look at was it's a trailer I just saw yesterday called Wake Up, which is a movie about some people who break into a sort of shopping mall, I think, something like that. Is it a shopping mall?
It's like that, or an IKEA or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Large trading establishment.
And the security guard that works there sort of loses his mind, really. So it's got the slasher element to it. And it just, to me, just looks like a good bit of fun slasher film. Don't give too much away. Looks like it might be some really interesting kills. Sort of included it because it looks like, you know, it might be a good slasher. What did you think?
Yeah, again, I think a lot of similar stuff to the Abigail one, in that it feels like it's, you know, it's played its entire hand in the trailer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But that hand does look like it's going to be solid fun, I think.
Yeah. That's sort of why
there does seem to be some nice stylistic touches to it. Seems to be a few of the shots that were sort of entirely in black and white, but lit with sort of, you know, that glowy neon-y paint sort of stuff. So it looks like there could be some, you know, some nice cues, some nice directorial flourishes.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I'll happily go see it.
Yeah, I liked the look of this one. And when it comes to slashers, what I really want is a bit of fun. And it just looks like that. Just looks like a few interesting kills, you know, people you want to die, and, you know, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't look scary, does it?
No, it doesn't look scary. It doesn't look scary.
I think I get the feeling that it feels like a more slasher take on Don't Breathe.
Goes yes. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you know, for the action of it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's keep moving. So the film that I was thinking of is called In a Violent Nature. That's the trailer that I was thinking of. And if I can figure out the computer, we might have a little live watch now and a chat about it. That'd be interesting. Never done that before.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. But let's do the ones we are going to do. So here's one that's been interesting me. I've seen the trailer a couple of times, Cuckoo. Now, opposed to the other two trailers, this feels like it doesn't give away anything. Like, what do you think of it? Do you agree with that? Or
yeah, there's quite a few of these styles of trailer that I remember across loads of different genres, where you watch the trailer, you just think, how does any of this come together? It feels so disjointed and not like. None of this feels like it's from the same piece. Well, not entirely. You know, it feels like it's come from maybe five or six different sources. And When I'm seeing a trailer, that's what I want, because I don't like I generally for films that I want to see, especially I view trailers as a hindrance. I like to go in knowing as little as possible. I can't. I don't like reading reviews. I try to avoid trailers if I can. That's mostly impossible. But when a trailer's like this, and it's something that's an original property, and it gives you this weird and all of these seemingly random little clips that build up, an idea. Like, that's a perfect trailer for me. Because, like, I don't really know what this film's about. I've got a vague idea. I've got some kind of gist of what to be expecting, but who really knows? And that's great. I can't wait for this, because I get a taste without knowing what I'm in store for.
I kind of liked that. The main character seems to have a vague idea that she's in a film, or at least is questioning weird things that people are saying. Why are you saying stuff like that? I thought it was fun. I quite liked that. So, yeah, but I don't
Yeah,
need to see.
I really like Dan Stevens. He seems to be dialing it up and being like being as hammy as humanly possible with it, which I think he's having a year of doing that, because he was in that he's in the new Godzilla versus Kong film doing it, which I thought he was surprisingly charming throughout the film, because in the first scene I thought he was going to annoy the pants off me. And he's also in Abigail as well, so could be a bumper year for wacky Dan Stevens, and I'm all here for it.
No, I'm looking forward to that one. So the last trailer we're going to talk about is, I think, one that both of us are really rather looking forward to, is Maxine. And I am. I must admit, I'm mega looking forward to it. The trailer has done, I think, really what I needed it to do. It's wet my whistle for this next film. I've no real idea what's going to be going on. It sounds like it's got a nice fun 80s soundtrack to it. And Mia Goth can do no wrong for me at the moment.
Goth. So Mia Goth.
Is that not what I said?
No, I think you did, but my headphone cut out a little bit.
All right, okay. Maybe I did, maybe I
I
didn't.
heard Mia and then a moment of silence.
All right, I did pause. I did pause, I'll admit, because my brain was going, is it something else? Combination there. So we got there in the end. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It feels like she's doing more Pearl than she's doing her previous character. Or am I wrong on that? Am I just remembering X wrong? What do you think? I imagine you're looking forward to it too.
I am, yes. The one I was saying previous about trailers, this is one that I didn't need to see. I was going to go see the film without having to see this trailer, and I didn't really want to watch it. But having said that, I did watch it, because it would make poor podcast etiquette if I didn't. And I thought, you know what, this is actually taking it down a path that I wasn't expecting, because it seems to be playing like within the world of movies, of movies we know. It's not playing around as how often they do with made up properties, so that seems fun. So it looks like it's going to be a bit of a trek through some horror movies that of the past that we love. And also it's feels like it's doing a bit of a true crime slam as well, you know, with the the Nightstalker killings, and this isn't something I expected from the third film in this franchise. So it's, yeah, I'm excited for this one as well. Like, more so after seeing the trailer.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on all the things, and you're like, it's the funny thing is, I watched it once, and the Bates Motel was in it, and I just forgot that again when I watched it the second time. I was like, oh yeah. So I'm going to be really interested to see, you know, exactly how these sort of, like you said, old movies play out through the film. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward.
Yeah, I got some Scream 3 vibes off it. You know, the playing through the, you know, the movies in that one, aren't they? And like, I get the feeling that this film will probably have fun with that idea.
Yeah.
In a way that Scream 3 didn't quite nail.
Right, so let's try and do this live trailer watch.
Don't get too hung up on reason. They just keep killing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So, don't really give you a lot, to be honest. It looks like fun, doesn't it? A nice play on essentially Friday the 13th, really. I've seen it a few times. I still don't really know what to make of it. I don't really know what they're doing with it. Do you fancy it?
I mean, I certainly looks like it's worth a view. There is an attempt at something interesting for sure, and I mean, it looks like it's in with a good chance of pulling it off.
Yeah,
it feels like it's a difficult idea to pull off, but difficult ideas often work. So hopefully, this is the it fulfills the promise of the possibility of that trailer.
Yeah. Well, that was nice. Nice for us to do a live trailer watch. And you know, we've only touched the surface really of here of the trailers that have released recently. There's some lower budget stuff, some by the numbers stuff, but you know, it looks like there's going to be some decent stuff coming up through the year for horror, and if not decent, just stuff. But as long as we're getting some stuff, and you know, as we talked about before, and based on that trailer there, you know, Shudder are going to be starting to do some big screen releases, so that'll be really interesting. It's going to be interesting to start seeing some of their sort of original content actually make it to the big screen. I wish we'd got
the big thing that's So the big thing that stood out to me on that was Shudder again.
Yeah.
We wax lyrical about them all the time, but they really are doing a great job of keeping original horror, you know, alive and giving a chance to interesting stuff that wouldn't otherwise get released. So hats off to them yet again for picking up another interesting looking film.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to all that good stuff throughout the year, and hopefully we'll have some bonus episodes and stuff like that for new horror. But you know, it's always good for us to look forward to something. Now, looking forward to something. I'm looking forward to doing this filling. It's not really a very good link, I'll give you. But as you've seen by the title of the episode, we're going to be talking about the Neon Demon from whatever year it was from, which is good. 2016, don't worry, I knew that. And it is directed by Nicholas Winding Refn. I don't know why I said his last name like that, I apologise. R-E-F-N, I'm not quite sure how that is actually pronounced. It stars Elle Fanning as Jessie, Carl Glusman as Dean, Jenna Malone as Ruby, Bella Heathcote as Gigi, Abby Lee as Sarah, Keanu Reeves as Hank, and there are, of course, other people in the movie. So, is this a first watch for you? Or are you...
So I have I would say a bit of a history with Nicholas Winding Refn, because I was 20 or so, 21 when Drive came out.
Oh, right, yeah.
And being a 21-year-old white male, when Drive came out, it was transformative.
It's a good movie, like.
I think not just be in the same way that it is a really good movie. It has a bit of a dude bro reputation behind it now.
Right.
I mean, people like movies. What would I say? A lot of really great movies have dude bro reputations. But I like to think that personally for me, I think it was kind of one of the films that sort of taught me that cinema exists in a different way from what I'd seen before. I would say films like Clerks was important for me to discover indie films, and Let the Right One In was like a big one for non-English language films. Drive was really the film that sort of jimmied open the door to like art house cinema for me.
Right.
Then Only God Forgives came out a couple of years later. And I only watched it once. I have memories of really liking it, but at the same time, I also think that I may have just said that to sound intelligent, because a lot of people, it didn't do particularly well review wise, and I by no means had a taste and a knowledge of cinema by the way that I've tried to cultivate in the years since. And then when Neon Demon came out, I was like, yes, I can't wait for this. I'm going to get it. It wasn't on in the cinemas near me, which was really annoying. And then straight away, I bought the Blu-ray as soon as I could. And it was on my shelf until today.
Wow.
So 7 years of putting this film off. It's one of those big time films that have been on my list films. So thank you for making me finally watch it.
Well, you're welcome. It was I watched it this year. In fact, it was a ChatGPT recommendation, and I put it out on Instagram saying I'd watch this, and we had loads of positive, you know, comments saying they'd like to hear an episode about it. So I'm like, yeah, why not? So that's why we're here. So you can thank me and possibly thank the fans. Oh no, that doesn't feel right. Listeners. Yeah, but we're there with it. Now this film's sort of loose plot really is that we have a 16-year-old aspiring model, Jessie, who enters into the modeling world after the unexplained death of her parents. She's told to lie about her age by a sort of management firm. And after meeting a few people, it sort of goes from there, really. It's a difficult film to essentially explain. It's a movie, I think, that's heavily made up of its visuals and its sound.
Vibes. There's a lot of vibes-based filmmaking in this.
There's a lot of vibes. And I compare it to me watching it, I compare it to being, well, the word's Lynchian. And that was what I get out of it. And I think partly that's because I think David Lynch always likes you to get what you want out of his films. And I think that this has that too. And having spoken to other people, you know, there's a lot of different interpretations about what this film is about. And, you know, I like that for it. As I say, circling back round again, the sound in it is just amazing, so immersive. One of the things that really gets me in this film is that it's very difficult to settle on what anybody's motivation is. Nobody really, and again, that might be my interpretation of it, but it's very difficult to settle on a character like, oh, I know who this person is, I know what their angle is through this film or where they're going with it. And everybody feels really unsettling, or at least you don't know where they're going. Would you say you got that from it, or are you sort of, would you interpret it in a different way?
Well, seeing as I didn't really have to interpret this film at all, because like as a beautiful person, this happens to me all the time.
Oh, of course.
Which is why I do podcasting, because you know, I can't be seen, because it literally drives people insane.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you mean in terms of like there is this overwhelming sense that what do people want from Jessie, our lead character, because it's this meditation on beauty, is it? Physical beauty and what that means to people. And it puts us in this film where all the characters that revolve around her, it kind of amplifies their pre-existing behaviors, you know, and the way that they act as people. And sometimes it can bring out danger in people. Other times people are kind of not indifferent, but not, you know, not quite that. It brings out what's there and turns it toxic generally.
Mm.
Which I think was, it's interesting for me that I would have preferred that we had more characters that were, you know, that were brought out a bit more positively, because everyone in this film is an arsehole.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the you know, the young fella that's going out with Jesse, you know, that's trying to to build that relationship, because he's, you know, he seems to be the only one who's not brought under her spell in one way or another. Because, you know, there's a scene where he says that he considers what's inside that counts, which is what most normal, decent people would say and genuinely believe. Whereas, because the film takes place in this, you know, this vapid, shallow atmosphere, and like we say, just these awful people who see beauty as skin deep only, it, you know, it really amplifies those shallow excesses that they have. Or likewise with, you know, with Keanu Reeves' character as the motel owner, you know, it brings out violence and you know, sexual abuse from him, you know, thankfully I think was spared the worst of what that could have been. I think it's dialed back a little bit from you know, any real grotesque stuff in that regard, but it brings out some pretty ugly stuff there. So it's, you know, I like that idea of it being a meditation on something beautiful bringing out something evil. You know, I think it's quite an interesting position to start from for a film.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, like what I was saying, I even find Jesse very unsettling as a character, because I can never land on what her motivation is, aside from she knows she's pretty, but it feels like she's got some dark backstory. And also, when given a real peek into her, she's not sweet and innocent as it comes across, but she is at points, and it's very you know, not even confusing. Confusing is not the right word. It's unsettling. There you go. I find myself unsettled by this film, because I feel like it's almost greased up. I can't get to grips with it. It's
there is a sense of the idea of that she's understanding this power that she has over people.
Mm-hmm.
And being corrupted by it, but at the same time, like you say, it's unsettling, because I don't think that is consistent.
No,
you know, it comes in waves, doesn't it? I think by the end of the film that she feels kind of a bit drunk with that power, but it's certainly not, you know, it's not a straight line of this corruption. She kind of plays people along the way, or seems to, which is, like you said, that's what gives it that unsettling vibe.
Yeah. But I mean, aside from that as well, it does offer up a lot of interesting imagery. You know, when we end up at the nightclub near the beginning, where it does this really weird thing. It's again, the music, like I say, I think the music in this is probably the standout. But throughout the film, there's a lot of very odd visuals and weird moments, like when her flat gets broken into by a wildcat, which to me feels very Lynchian. And then,
yeah, I really liked how that was. That feels really weird at the time, but when it comes back to it, everyone just treats it as just a really normal thing to have happened. That tickled me.
It's played out as it's played out, like you say, as strange. But then when they come back to it, it's like, goddamn Wildcat. So yeah, it is quite interesting. It's like I say, to me, it's a really hard film to grab a hold of. I mean, I agree with you that it is very much about sort of beauty and this. I mean, there's a degree of sexuality to this film, but it's never sexy.
No, there's never any
There are never any
content,
moments.
I would say.
No, yeah, never any. Yeah, like you say, there's no real consensual. But even I think when
The
it's,
power dynamics are always off, I would say.
yeah.
More than the consent thing is that, yeah, there's never any that never seems to be anything vaguely sexual between two equals. It always seems really grotty because of that. And I mean, if you've seen the film, there is one in particular where the power dynamics are way, way, way off, and not in the way that you think if you haven't seen the film.
We can spoil that, can't we, though? Maybe we shouldn't, actually.
No, I genuinely think saying the words would bring some sort of curse on me.
Yeah, well,
It's pretty grotesque.
it is pretty grotesque. I managed to get through it, and I'll tell you why later when we've finished. But yeah, I've talked a bit about the sound of the music. What did you think?
Yeah, it does have this deep synth score, doesn't it? Where it's again, I think synth is an interesting choice. I mean, I know that that's kind of what Refn does. He, synthy music, neon visuals and stuff, that it's his bread and butter. But I think that this. Doing it this way, I think it adds a bit of a layer to it, because it's, synth music, it's, for want of a better word, artificial, isn't it? It's not what we would consider a normal musical instrument, in that it's the sound is generated by a computer. The skill may be the same if it's a synth keyboard pressing pressing the keys, but the sound that comes out of it is generated by a computer. And I think that when it's existing in this world of people that are artificially altering their bodies to achieve this standard of beauty, I think it puts us in this place where it sort of dials that up, and it maximizes that idea of artificiality. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think that when Jesse's on, that there is more of that traditional instrumentation on it. Which, I mean, I could be completely wrong. I want to be completely honest with you, but that was the vibe that I got. I'd probably have to go through and listen to that score again, but or it could just be the combination of those with the visuals. But I really like that idea, in that it's that this cold computer-generated world matching the artificial nature of the people, and then this natural you know, traditional idea coming through to highlight the people who aren't, you know, who aren't natural and aren't artificial that way.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting take on it. Well, I don't really know how much more we want to say about it because I don't really want to spoil it for people. I think if you're listening to this and you haven't watched it, and I imagine people do that. It's really worth adding to your list. It's one of those sort of films that just pulls you in and keeps you there. It's not one of those sort of films, and I do this a lot, that you sort of switch off and come back to later. It just pulls you in. Stunning visuals, fantastic, you know, sound, and just, it's just really fun to try and get to grips with, if you can. I mean, like I say, I think the one thing I really enjoy about it is other people have had other opinions, and I think, you know, that's not necessarily just a sign of this sort of film and this sort of style, but that's, I think, good for any kind of film, really. If you can come into it and get out of it what you want to get out of it, then, you know, you've had a good time. But if you, I don't know if you want to add anything more.
Yeah, I'm a little bit cooler on it than you are. I think it's, for me, there is quite a lot of the film that's a little bit slow and a little bit ponderous, you know, and it doesn't go through that central, you know, thesis as much. Because when it's doing that, and it's really doing that, I think this is really great. But there were times for me where I was sort of just thinking, "It's going, you know, get a move on."
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I think this may be a me thing, but there were times where I think telling the story in a visual way probably is something that I need spelled out for a bit more. You know, and like I've said, you know, I've said a few times, I'm a guy who likes story, you know, right. Yeah. That's what really gets me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I enjoy my films. And this has a story. It's got a really good story, a really interesting story. And I think that those little sequences kind of slow it down and take me out of that story and those ideas a bit.
Right.
Telling that visually, I think you've got to, probably for me, sort of spell it out a bit more. Than the film does.
Yeah, right.
There were times where I'm looking at it going, are you lingering on this bit just because you've set up a nice shot here? Or are you really trying to, you know, to tell us something? And a few too many times I couldn't decide which of those it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're entitled to your own opinion. And, you know, there are things that I didn't like about this that are few and far between. I feel like it has a natural ending that it should have had, and it goes on for probably 15 minutes longer than it needs to. I almost feel like it should leave you, not necessarily wanting, but it doesn't need some of the ending stuff. But apart from that, I'm happy with it. And we did get some Facebook comments. If you're Happy to move to that.
Let's do it.
Right. So Matt said the soundtrack is 11 out of 10.
See what you said, Tom.
You can't have that. Tony said, bloody love this. Seen it a few times now. It's so bloody odd. Lol. True. Very true. And yeah, another for the soundtrack. That's what you said. Brian said, it's pretty damn great. Don't know what genre it is. Neo-fantasy? And then he's put, maybe my favourite film about witches. Which is an interesting interpretation, I think. Actually watched it this time around knowing that he had said that. And there are some witchy elements to it. Possibly, you know, defiling the dead and ritual sacrifice.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I mean, there's for sure stuff there.
Yeah. It's an interesting take. It is. And as I said, you know, I think it's nice to get stuff out. Let's see. Vincent said, this film is strange, diffusive, gory, dreamlike meditation on the meaning and meaningless of beauty. Or it may be pretentious wank. Take your pick. Which, you know...
Why not both?
Yeah, well, it could be, couldn't it? It could be pretentious wank and good, could it? I don't know. But yeah, we had some interesting thoughts there from the Facebook group, which was funny because it was mostly ladies that commented on the Instagram. So perhaps I should be asking the question there more. Not that I mind the gents' opinions. So, yeah. Right. So, oh, no, we need to give it a review, don't we? I'm going to give it a creative psychopath. I think it's really great. Is it a horror film? It's a good question.
I mean, though that closing stretch definitely is.
Yes, I suppose so. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. There's a real. I mean, the scene around the swimming pool. I mean, that's just straight by the book, sort of
horror stuff.
I would almost say Final Girl, but.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Not for obvious reasons. You know, straight up, and that's, you know, very much your skin and bones horror movie.
Creating psychopath for me. Where are you going with this one? I'm curious.
Yeah, for me, I need to stop watching these films immediately before we record because, you know, this is a film that I think I need to ruminate on a bit more to really decide where I sit with it fully.
Well,
I'm in between that and spooky and creative psychopath.
Fair enough.
I'm inclined to go for the higher end and say creative psychopath as well because, yeah, I did dig it. There is a lot of stuff to enjoy in here. I think it's a bit weak in parts, but when it's on its premise and it's doing those things, it's really good doing that. So I'll go for creative psychopath as well.
All right, okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, in future, if you can't decide, you can come back next week. You're always here, so
yeah.
Maybe next episode you'll come in and go, no, I've decided, it's wank. well, let's get into the second slice. But before we do that, I've got to tell you about the what are they called? Social medias. There you go. We have a Facebook group where we post what film we're doing, and you're welcome to comment. There's an Instagram too that I was good at and then stopped being good at because I'm a sort of out of sight, out of mind sort of bloke, and I just forget about these things. But it is there, and, you know, you can interact with us, or, well, probably me more specifically, on those. And if you want to be on the podcast, then please, please, please do. We've got more people in our socials than we've had guests. So if you do listen to this, please, by all means, come on, because we love a guest. We absolutely love a guest. But yeah, so let's do the second slice that you're doing. You're doing a second slice, and I'm going to keep quiet again.
Yeah, so I guess we're kind of reviewing another film. This is a second heavy sandwich.
Spoilers or non-spoilers?
No, I'll keep it light on spoilers. I won't want to. To ruin it for anyone, but have you seen it yet?
No, it didn't.
Right, so we're talking about The First Omen.
Yeah,
after we covered the OG a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one is in cinemas now. So, you know, I will open just by saying, go see it, because I think you should go see horror films if you are that way inclined. But right, yeah. In terms of the meat and bones of the film, we're talking about The First Omen, and it is directed by Arkasha Stevenson. I don't know if you watched Brand New Cherry Flavor, which was quite a big series on Netflix, and is like so many things has been on my list for ages. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a film that is very much carried by Nell Tiger Free, and she plays a nun. A woman who is about to become a nun in Rome. And while she's there, she meets a girl who seems to be a little bit off compared to the other girls in the convent school. And she's met with a priest who tells her that the convent school that she's at is secretly trying to breed the Antichrist so that they can control him and basically get him to cause havoc so that people will turn to God and that they'll increase the power of the church again. That's not a spoiler. That's spelled out, like, end of the first act. You know, it's not like it's not a massive thing.
Fair play.
It's kind of hard for me to really say what I thought about the film without going into spoilers, because it's a film that really works hard to avoid that prequel problem, you know, where we know where the characters and you know, we know what happens essentially by the end of it. So
yeah.
How can you get to there while keeping it interesting? And I think what the film does quite well is that it completely, you know, it doesn't really have any characters from the original Omen in it.
Right.
So
yeah,
everything's kind of on the table. And it does some things throughout the film, you know, puts us some twists and turns to, you know, to keep it interested in that. And it's a lot of fun in the ways that some of the ways the film moves forward, they make twists that are entirely predictable, but they also do some stuff that, you know, you don't expect, and it keeps you off guard a bit. So that's something that's a lot of fun, and it gets a bit silly as well, which I think The Omen was probably lacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think when we watched it, we both got the impression that it took itself quite seriously, but didn't quite nail the dread aspects of it that probably it was going for.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
This does have that thread of, you know, religious dread, you know, weaved throughout it, but also just has this high camp silliness to it, which I think really works. And yeah, I think the other thing that I'd really take away from it is just that there are just a load of just the best character actors that you'd come across in it. You know, Charles Dance appears in the opening scene, and it is a really strong opening. I love the first scene of the film, and he's playing that across from Ralph Ineson, he's done loads of stuff. You'd recognize him immediately. Probably most notable for me for The Witch, and Bill Nighy playing in a film that I can't really remember him doing much horror. So loads and loads of fun in the cast. And I would probably say, if I'm going to review, I'd probably go for an Ooh, It's Spooky. Didn't quite tip it into Creative Psychopath for me.
But it sounds like again, you had a good time. Without,
I had a good time, yeah. And I should probably caveat this review by saying that when I watched the film, I'd just come off the back of like a 12-hour shift at work, and I was a bit knackered. So I might be as fun as I've made the experience sound, it was probably more fun than that if I was watching it, you know, Saturday evening, you know, sort of screening. But yeah, there are some problems with it. It's kind of hard to go into them without, you know, without talking about third act plot points. But yeah, there are problems with it. It's by no means a 5-star movie, but it's. I think I gave it 3 on Letterboxd. I could probably. I wouldn't argue if I was to, you know, push that up to a 4. You know, it's. I think by the time that the end of the year comes and we sort of look back, I'll probably remember it more fondly than I will most of the other films I gave it 3 stars.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised, but I'm impressed that it's got as far as Ooh, It's Spooky, because I must admit, the trailer didn't give me a lot, and you know, I don't even remember what I reviewed The Omen now, but I think even at that, I don't have
yeah, like, I've seen
a nostalgia for that movie that I'm like, oh yeah, I need to see this prequel. But you're not the only person that I've heard say give it positive reviews, so you know, and presumably it does leave.
Yeah, but when I came out of the film and I checked Letterboxd and you know, it was much higher than I was expecting as well. I thought I was, when I was thinking 3 stars, I thought I was pretty in tune, but most people go above me because they probably weren't watching it when they were
tired and angry, or just tired,
shattered. So it's the best in the series.
Yeah.
You know, full disclosure, I've only seen the first one, which, you know, we covered on here. And I'm going to say I think I preferred that to this one. The Omen sequels don't have the greatest of reputation. But I'm going to say I'd be quite interested to see more films in this saga now, you know, and you know, let's have the director give it another crack, maybe do a, you know, a sequel or possibly a remake.
It has been remade before, right? The Omen.
I'd be happy with either if she wanted. Sorry?
The Omen, it has been remade before, right? Maybe in 2006.
Yeah, it was with Lee Schreiber in the Gregory Peck role.
I'm sure they released it on 666.
No, that's, yeah, it's very clever.
Yes, pretty sure. Yeah, good fun.
That is another one, though, that has a really strong cast to it, though.
Yeah. I'm sort of with you, though. I've been looking, because they're on Disney Plus, and I've been looking at potentially watching the second and the third one. And the third one intrigues me anyway, because Sam Neill, I think, who I've always got time for. So, yeah. Maybe I should have thought about seeing this one. I just didn't fancy it. We saw Kung Fu Panda 4.
Well, it is in cinemas now, so you still have the opportunity.
Yes, yeah. Very true. But no, we went to see Kung Fu Panda 4 instead, which was fine.
Good.
Great excitement. Or whatever the alternative is for movies that aren't horrors. Crave and whatever. Well, there we go then. No, well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. What do we do now? Well, we finished, aren't we? We're done. We can pack up our kit bag and... next week, next week's episode, Candyman. We're doing one of the big ones, and I'm bloody looking forward to it. So, yeah, let's get out of here then. Let's pack up our bags, like I said before, and bye, everyone.
It's gonna be a good one.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.